take them wherever though. Everywhere make them known. I wanna make some clones. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Modeling Christ alone. I take his name around everywhere I go. Every city, every town, I will make them known. His mission got me bound, trying to make some clones. Model Christ alone.
Glory to God.
Yo, we are back. Episode 76 of the Not the Same Podcast Bible Study, hosted by this one word, C. Micah, and that one word over there, Mr. Rob Redeem. Yes, we're glad, gracious, and very happy to be back with y'all with another Bible study. And the subject for this Bible study is called Help My Unbelief. Now, before we get all into it, man, if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or any pirated stream with your pirating selves, please do what you saw on the screen, number one. Since you want to pirate anyway, at least do this. Give us a, after this spinning ball finish, give us a, come on, computer, go. You can do it. Hey, number one, give us a like. And if you have not subscribed to Not the Same Podcast, go ahead and subscribe. Don't wait no longer. Lastly, hit that notification bell so you can be notified when we are live on every other Tuesday, like when we do these Bible studies. Make sure you tune in, man. We are, before we get into it, man, we feel honored to even be able to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't come to you cocky like we know everything. We knows a whole lot of nothing. Now, I ain't going to say we don't know nothing. We know a little bit, but we don't know a lot. You know, we just try to be led and let the Holy Spirit lead us, man. So come take this journey with us as we dig into this Bible study. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, man. What's up, D? We want to give a shout out to our rebroadcasters of the Not the Same Podcast and the Not the Same Podcast Bible Study, because a lot of times you can rebroadcast other shows, but when people are rebroadcasting a Bible study, that we truly, truly don't take that for granted, because, you know, you're giving the word of God. Not everybody's going to agree with you, but when you're making points and the Holy Spirit leading you, like we say, glory be to God. Not being deep tonight, we just reflecting. So shout out to our MTMB FAMO, our Life Show TV, Takeover Radio, Praise 365, Parable Radio, RYC Praise News, His Hop Radio and Podcast Network, as well as the 520 Collective. Those are the rebroadcasters of the Not the Same Podcast. We salute everybody who rebroadcasts this Bible study. And again, we don't take it lightly. Before we get started and before we go into prayer, we just want to let y'all know, like, when we're doing these Bible studies, life be lifing. And that's the reason why we going into, shout out to our homeboy Tony Dyson, who had, you know, for their podcast. We just want to let y'all know, like, don't give up. We say this all the time. And tonight, as we get ready to go into this this Bible study, you'll understand where I'm coming from. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord God, just asking, Heavenly Father, that you not just help others who don't know you, Lord God, unbelief, but help our unbelief as well as we get ready to dig into this topic. Open up our hearts and our minds, Lord God, so that your word can produce ripe fruit. I ask that you allow my brother and I to decrease as you increase in us, Lord God. Give us the words to speak so we can speak with clarity, with no confusion, Heavenly Father. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So tonight we start a new series. It's funny, C and I always talk about how these Bible studies happen. It happened. I wasn't feeling well. I'm sitting down, not on the toilet. I'm sitting down. I'm just saying, bro, you know how you say you're sitting down. I wasn't feeling well. And all of a sudden, man, stop it.
Too much for the Bible study. I'm kidding.
All of a sudden, the Lord hit me with this. C had been saying it, Lord, help my unbelief. It's a scripture. He was like, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so many times we fall into a spot where it's unbelief. Like our faith is on zero. We don't, we're going through a trial. We're going through a test. And it's like, Lord, help my unbelief. And we want to talk about tonight, as we get ready to pull up the definitions. What we want to talk about tonight is, Lord, help my unbelief when I'm going through those times. And us remembering, because it's easy to say it when you up, the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me, till you feel forsaken. You know what I mean? And you got all these scriptures when you're on the mountaintop, but when you're in that valley. And that's what we want to talk about today on Lord, help my unbelief. Starting with the difference. Faith and trust, what's the difference? If you want to know the difference between the two, faith always comes first, but trust is never guaranteed. So you can have faith in the Lord, but that don't mean you don't trust him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Trust is never guaranteed. That's what anybody. You can have faith that somebody going to do something, but then all of a sudden, your trust starts. It's a little shaky. So if you want to know the difference, faith always comes first, but trust is never guaranteed. Trust is something that they say is earned, if you will. 100%. And it, when you think about from a human relationship, like man to man, woman, man, woman, you know what I mean? So that's something that trust is earned, just like respect is earned. Faith is when you step out there. You have to have faith first before you even get to the point of trusting anything. So let's move to these definitions, brother.
Read. All right. Faith Webster's definition. Number one, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Number two, strong belief in God or in the doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. It hit you again. Because, hey, you're leading this Bible study, brother. Come on back.
I'm leading it, but let's be honest. When you do the definitions, you just typing away. You know what I mean? You're reading it like boom, 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 typing away, and then somebody else read it out. It's like apprehensive rather than proof. That's the definition of faith right there. Anyways, keep going, man. Faith in Bible.
All right. The biblical definition of faith is considered a belief and trust in God based on evidence without total proof.
Yeah. Now, see, when it was in the biblical, it was different. You know, like, yeah, I know that. But when you look at it from a secular Bible, if you will, and it still hit different because it goes to show you when people be acting like they don't know no better. Even the Webster and the Oxford is telling you what faith is based on. So let's move over to trust, brother.
All right, what's the definition of trust? Firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Of strength of someone or something.
Okay, and the biblical definition?
Biblical definition, confidence, a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person.
So that's what trust is. As we get ready to go into this, the topics that we're going to start with faith. Like I said, before any of this, you have to have faith before trust can even move in. And with the help of my unbelief, it is very important that you have faith. And, you know, without faith, we talk about, and we're going to get to this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's by faith that we believe. You know, when we confess and we believe, like, that is all a faith journey. This walk that we're on is a faith walk. When you're praying, that's faith talking, you see, and it all rolls in. So we're going to start with faith, and the scriptures that we'll be going through, we'll be hitting Hebrews 1, Hebrews 11 and 6, Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, and Matthew 17, 19 through 20. Again, we're starting off with faith because without faith, you can't move into the trust. And then we'll do trust. And then our last topic that we'll get to when we get down there, if it's today, it may be a two-part, is you have to know Jesus for yourself. And that is very key when you get to the faith and the trust part. So let's go ahead and get started, brother.
Hebrews 11 and 1, is that right?
Yes, sir, 11 and 1.
All right. Rita, I'm talking to myself, okay.
Talk to yourself, my brother. Just don't answer.
Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the certainty of things hoped for, proof of things not seen.
So
you want different translations?
Well, yeah, I had I had NKJV. Okay, everything was based on that. For y'all don't know what I'm talking about, we're going to the New King James Version of that's how the scriptures were looked up on this one.
All right, let me read this again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
What we have to understand is what we see is temporary. Mm-hmm. So, like, no matter what's going on in your life, it's a temporary moment. It seems like eternity, but what's not seen is what's eternal. So, like, you could be going through something right now, and it's subject to change. Even with our life, what we see, all of this is temporary. That struggle, that trial. The life that you live, you could be on top. You could be the richest thing in the world, but that's only temporary. You know, whether you live 75, 85, that's like a blink of an eye if you really think about it. We're already in what, March or May? I'm tripping. We're already in May, and we're halfway through May. So this is temporary. This life is temporary, and what's not seen is eternal. So it's very important that your faith is in something that is eternal as opposed to something that is so futile, if you will. Go ahead, C.
Now, all I would just say, faith is vital to the Christian walk. It's just, this is Amen. One of the vital pieces, man. Without faith, you won't even believe Jesus did what he did. Without faith, you can't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin without faith. You know what I'm saying? So the Christian walk, it's not just saying, okay, I believe this is my religion. No, you have to literally believe in a miracle to even be a Christian. You get what I'm saying? It's not just a natural thing. You have to literally believe in a miracle. And that is a great, great basis to even start the Christian faith, is know that you believe in a miracle, and it's the substance of things hoped for. It is the total, basically, like if you build a taco, the base of a taco is meat, then cheese, and then, you know, lettuce, and tomato, and all that. But that base, the main part of it, the substance, the whole of it is faith. In the same way, just like the substance in the whole of a taco is meat. I know that's very descriptive, but, you know, hopefully that helps.
No. That's
people like their tacos. It's Tuesday, right? Too, you know. We ain't going to say the slang because somebody may charge us, but, you know.
Right. Well, Hebrews 11:6. So just scroll down a little bit, brother.
Okay, I got you. Hebrews. Well, yeah, 11:6. Okay, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
So it's two parts. Remember, you can't please God without faith. I said that a moment ago. I used to go to a church that was the end of it. Without faith, you can't please him. Please who? Mm-hmm. God. The whole congregation would say it, because it's very important that you understand that. The other part is he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. You know, so by faith, if you're seeking him, he's going to reward you for that. But the problem that comes in, a lot of people think the reward part is the finances. And when the finances are not coming, then all of a sudden they don't feel like God is rewarding them. They're seeking him is going in vain, when you don't even realize you've been in this situation for so long and haven't lost your mind yet. That in itself is a reward, because there's so many people. We're in Mental Health Month. This is it's so many people who commit suicide, and you're still here. So just when you're walking by faith, you're pleasing God. Even every now and then we murmur and complain, it happened, but repent. 100%. Just be like, Lord, help me. That's why we're talking about help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm. You know, another interesting thing where it say he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's not just saying you believe he'll give you something. It's also from this end too. Just as much you got to believe that he exists, you got to believe that he'll give you something. And it ain't just about money, though.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to believe he'll give you life. You got to believe he'll give you health. You got to believe he's willing to. Because a lot of people it's very easy to believe that God exists. It's very hard that God loves you enough to give you something. It's very, very hard. And it seems like it would be easy. But for a lot of people, you know, people put God in the place of their father. And if their father wasn't worth nothing, it's hard for them to believe in God. Their father never gave them nothing. It's extremely hard for people to do that. Or if they just got hangups with God and money, you know, because rewarder is, like Rob said earlier, it's not just money. You know, God is rewarded in so many ways. If you breathe in today, trust me, he's rewarded you, you know, 100%.
Yeah. I think that rewarder also, it's the other little things that, like you said, forgiveness. That's a reward. Some people hold grudges and healing from the last relationship, healing from family ties or any type of soul ties, anything that you did before you came to the faith. That's a reward. And when you're diligently seeking him and he's healing you and getting you prepared for whatever it is he has for you to do. I'm not going to say getting you prepared for your next relationship. No, getting you prepared for him so that you can be fit for the master's use. And when I say master, for those who don't know any better, there's a scripture that talks about you being a utensil fit for the master's use, for the good utensils. Yeah. And that's a reward in itself when you're seeking the Lord and you're starting to get that heavy heart, that hard heart that you have. And now all of a sudden you're starting to love again and move forward off of those past hiccups, whatever it may be. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10.
Gotcha. All right, Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, as my brother said, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, and through faith, and not that that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
I know C said a mouthful, but the biggest thing I want you to take out of that, understand God's love for us and how he loves us is nothing like ours. Until you can understand that his love is unconditional, our love is conditional. No matter how you look at it, you know, love you unconditionally until you make me mad. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden that love, but you love me. It's nothing nothing like our love. And you have to have the faith to know that his love for us is totally different. And the last part of that, where it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which mm-hmm. God prepared beforehand. He already knows Jeremiah 29 and 11, I believe, where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not of evil. These are the scriptures that we see on walls all the time. But this is God talking to us on what he says he has for you, regardless mm-hmm. of what it looks like. We can have faith in him and begin to trust him because his love is nothing like we could fathom. We try to put it like C said, our father's love, our mom's love. Mm-hmm. Think about as a mother, for those mothers that just go hard. I know how I am with my boys. You know what I mean? I can't love my boys more than the way God did and the way that Jesus does. And if I have faith in him, he can show me how to love. You know that song back in the day, and they redid it, the gospel version, Teach Me How to Love. He can teach you that because God is love. And his love covers a multitude of faults where you can place your faith in him.
Yeah. And you know what's even greater about this, man? I was looking at the scripture where it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses sins,
boy,
he made us alive. So God, you know, nobody ever says it like this, but think about this. Before we even existed, he did this for us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So even I'll say, for example, I got saved at 13 years old. You know what I'm saying? And I hadn't lived a lot of life. But if I didn't meet Jesus by 13, I would have went to hell. You know what I'm saying? And for me personally, I was the last one in my household to get saved. But while I was in that unsaved position, he died for me. You know what I'm saying? While you was in this unsaved position, why were you doing things that displeased him? He said, no, I saw her worthy. I saw him mm-hmm. worthy. I'm mm-hmm. worth that person is worth me losing my life for, man. What an awesome, awesome gift. You know what I'm saying? That is just an awesome gift. Go ahead, bro.
No, and this just goes back to faith part. You silly
right.
man.
Right.
So this goes back to the faith part. You know, having that faith to give us, having that faith and seeing what he did so we can trust him. He's done everything for us to have faith in him. So he's earning. I said this at the beginning. Trust is earned. Mm-hmm. And God, when you start putting your faith in him, he's already earned a trust because of everything he's given for us so that we may have this life, even when we were dead in our trespasses or still sinning, doing our own thing.
100%. All right. Next, we're going to
2 Corinthians 5:7.
Got you. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
As they say now, period. With a T, period. But, this is the thing, man. Having faith gives us hope that these trials and tests are temporary and we have hope in eternal life.
Yeah.
If you walk by everything that you see, you will give up. You know what I mean? Like, you 100%. Will give up because what you're seeing is like, I'm looking at this one word on my couch. I'm looking at this one word and she playing me to the left. I'm looking at this one word, my boss talking to me sideways. I'm looking at these one words, these children. But that's why you have to walk by faith and not by sight, because you need strength to get through this. You know, if you're a 100%. Single parent, it's a lot, bro. You got to walk by faith. You faith in it. You dig? I understand where you're coming from. If you're in any position that's not ideal, or maybe you not even struggling with nothing. Maybe you're not in the struggle. Maybe everything in your life seems to be perfect. Your money right, your marriage right. You better watch it. You still need to walk by faith that God will still continue to provide for you, Because remember COVID? It was a lot of people in that position that was high. COVID came and shut a lot of people down.
Yes.
You know, the government shut down. I work for the government. The government shut down. It was a lot of people that was high. They TSPs, which is their 401ks, crashed. They started killing themselves. So just because you're up, we not a struggle Bible study. This not just for the folks who the downtrodden. No, that's not what faith about. And the devil is a liar. I hate when I hear people say people who believe in God is weak because they don't have anything else to believe in. So to debunk that lie, well, you still need to walk by faith and not by sight, because you still need God, whether up or low, no matter what class you're in, no matter what section of society you grew up in, you still need God, and you still need to walk by faith and not by sight, because sight will fool you every time.
I think the greatest strength any person can have is to believe God when they have money, because a lot of people take folks that believe in Christianity as for broke folks. And I know that sounds stupid, but if you... A lot of people that's very wealthy, they feel like they don't need God because they got everything they want. So it takes even more faith to believe God when you ain't struggling, when your money is straight, when your house note is on time, when you happy at home. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people go to God because, God, I'm struggling. Help me. And they get to God, they get into the word because they're looking for help. But when that help does come, a lot of people abandon God. So salute to anyone who's still with him when the help has came. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When the financial relief has came, when you're not in the struggle, when your boss ain't getting on your nerves and you still with him, because a lot of us rest and we be like, I ain't got to fight no more. What I need God for? And those people that, you know, had, and a lot of people, I say this and I know we got to go. I say this and move on. Those people that you were talking about during COVID that was taking their lives, their God was their money and their God let them down. So when their God let them down, they didn't know what to do with themselves and they killed themselves. Because they put all their trust in that, their 401k, their money, their career and all that. Because, you know, when COVID was here, you went from having everybody in office buildings to working at home. So a lot of positions got eliminated. you know what I'm saying? So without true faith in God, that could wreck you. So, bro.
No, that's good. That's good, bro. Matthew 17, 19 through 20. I think it was very important to say, hey, look, this is not... Faith is not just for the downtrodden and struggling. Like you need faith regardless of who you are or what walk of life you're in.
I mean, God need rich people too.
Yeah.
We need to finance the kingdom. All right, was it 19 and 20?
Yeah, 19 and 20.
Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Go ahead, bro.
So I want you to think about how small a mustard seed is. If you don't know it, Google it after the show. Yes. It is skeet as ever. You know what I mean? If you drop it on the floor, you're not going to pick it up. It's gone. Especially if you have like a brown colored floor, hang it up. Just get the next mustard seed. Mm-hmm. But the point that I'm having is, if you have that faith, like your faith can be that small and you're able to move those very mountains that are in your way. So you have to ask yourself, what is your current mountain that is in your way? And whatever that mountain is, it's time for you to have faith that God is going to give you provision to get through it when you seek him. And you start and stop leaning to your own understanding as we get ready to transition over to trust and stop. Yeah. Without a vision, the people perish. You need your vision. You need your plan. We all need that. You need your financial plan and everything. But don't put more in your plan than you do in faith in God. Because when you activate your plan in God's will, you will see how the relief comes.
Amen. Also, man, for this faith is a mustard seed scripture, man. One thing is awesome about this. It could be, you could take it as, I guess, an allegory is the word I'm trying to say, where it's like it's example, right? So it may not be literally a mountain. So it's as low as it can be your situation, and as high as it can be a literal mountain. It's both, right? Because Jesus could say you have faith as he say something to a fig tree, but he also spoke literally to a fig tree and it didn't work. So I'm saying this as an example is, don't limit this scripture just to, oh, this is just my tough times in my life. No, it could be some literal things that you can have faith for where it can move, but it also can be also the tough times in your life. Other words, God is not in the box. It's more than just what you can just withhold. You know what I'm saying? Because in our natural mind, all I can see is just these mountains in my way. But it can be like literal things in your way too, you know.
No, where are we going next, bro? Okay, so now we're going to trust, the topic trust. No, that man, let them use you. So we're going to trust. We'll be going Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, Proverbs 3 and 7, Psalms 37 through 4 through 6, Psalms 46 to 10, and Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. If you want to know why we put it on the screen and read it out, this is for our audio listeners who go back and listen audio wise. We always want to make sure everybody knows what scripture we're coming from. And, you know, so thank you for our audio listeners as well for the replay. So 100%. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and I purposely separated 7. So just read 5 and 6, and then we'll stop, and then I'll read 7.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
All right. So this is a problem so many of us have. We trust in the Lord until we don't understand, and then we start to doubt. So like we trust in him, and then like, hold on now, that don't make sense. If I do it like this, then I'll be straight. Look, he'll direct our path. Sometimes you just got to get out the way. And again, I'm not saying Jesus take the wheel. I'm not talking about that silly stuff that we see in the jokes. Yeah, please don't do that. You're going to find out real quick. There's a scripture that says, and don't test thy God.
Don't do that.
We don't want that. But there is a problem where we trust in the Lord until we don't understand something. And that is in so many facets of life. And you can just insert yours right there.
Right.
I don't understand it. I can't trust them.
Right. And you can't, you know. To reiterate what Rob is saying too, you can't limit God to just your own understanding.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that just to add to what Rob is saying, you know, well, I'll give an example. There was a popular Christian rapper, I won't say his name, that left the faith because he said, God, if you don't show me this where I can understand, then I'm out. And he, in other words, he leaned onto his own understanding and basically tested God by saying, well, if you don't show me this, I'm out. And guess what? He out. It didn't mean God didn't love him to me, but he was so, I'm giving you this example, how incorrect that is. Incorrect thinking to scripture. Lean not into your own understanding. Always acknowledge him. And let's not test God. Be like, well, God, if you don't do this, you don't have, God has authority in your life. You don't have authority in God. You have a,
say that
you
can exercise,
God has
back,
authority
bro.
In your life. You can exercise, I mean, let me say it this way. God has authority in your life. You don't have authority over God. You can exercise authority you have in him. Other words, Rob is over Devin. Devin may be at a, if I'm in Rob's house, Devin could be like, hey, see, you need to take your shoes off. Now, Devin is younger than me, but guess what? I'm in Rob's house, and Devin has authority in Rob's house, which means he could tell me that. But now he can't come in my house, though, and be like, see, you need to take your shoes off. One word, number one, how'd you get over here? And two, why are you in my house? Now, he could come to my house. But I'm giving y'all an example that make it more plain where you can get that. Is that, so us as believers, we don't have authority over that. Like, Devin don't say, Dad, clean my room. Rob probably knock him across the house. You know what I'm saying? Same way, we can't be with God. Nah, I got authority. God, you do that. We can't make God do anything. We ask. And he grants, and if he don't grant, then he's still good. Just like if Rob don't give Devin something he want, Rob still his daddy. He still love him. He may Rob may see something that Devin don't see. That he, no, you don't need this right now. Same way with God.
Right.
Go ahead, bro.
Right. That's perfect. We can go ahead down to 7. What's up, Chip? You can go ahead and scroll down to 7.
All right. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
So I purposely separated this from 5 and 6 because we have to stop thinking we're smarter than the Lord. Like we 100%. Just, I got 100%. This. You know what I mean? Now I'm not talking blind faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people be on this blind faith thing and I'm not going to go down that because that's a whole nother Bible study. I'm saying come up with a game plan and pray and trust that the Lord is going to get, you know, make provisions for that game plan to go through. So, if you read them all together, I separated it on purpose because I wanted you to see Stop thinking you're smarter. Do not be wise in your own eyes, meaning like, I got this. Because when you're wise in your own eyes and your game plan don't come to fruition and it don't work out, now you're depressed. Now you're doubting. Now you're, you know, you're stressed out because you didn't take that time to scroll back up to 5 and 6. See?
Gotcha.
You didn't take time to trust in the Lord with your own heart. And you started leaning to your own understanding and you stop acknowledging his ways. Cause it said, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Scroll back down to 7. But when you are wise in your own eyes, then guess what? You stop fearing the Lord and then you start thinking up evil schemes in order to get quick money or whatever the case may be, or doing things, compromising yourself so that you can get the money and meet that bill.
100%. All right, next we're going to Psalms 37. Is that right, brother?
Yeah, 37, 4 through 6.
All right, hold on one second.
Glad you're doing better, brother.
Yes, sir. I know you're talking about Chip.
Yeah, talking to Chip.
Mm-hmm. 37, 4, and 6. All right, here we go. Psalms 37, 4 and 6, 4 through 6. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday.
So you have to ask yourself this question. And this is for myself and C also. Am I delighting myself in the Lord, or am I only talking when I'm going through something? When you delight yourself through something, like in any relationship, and you know, it's a Bible study, but we're going to keep it 100.
Yes, sir.
If you only delight yourself in him or her for pleasure, then you're not delighting yourself in them. That you're not at all. You want something. Mm-hmm. When you delight yourself in someone and you truly fall in love with them, which that's what we're talking about, and having faith in the Lord and trusting in the Lord, you want to spend as much time with that person as possible. You want to get to know them. You want to get to know their characteristics. You know them so well that they can make a face and you know what's going on. And that's the type of relationship that God has toward us. So the question is, do we have that relationship with the Lord? Are we delighting ourselves in him? Are we only coming to the scripture every other Tuesday for not the same? We appreciate it, but after we log out, you got to keep this going. You know, am I delighting myself in the Lord, or I'm only in his word when it's time to get ready for one of these Bible studies? Now, I praise God that he gives me this, because Lord knows on my own, if I tried to do this, it would not work out, y'all. I promise you, the way this stuff comes, I know it's coming from the Holy Spirit. I'm not being braggadocious on this. What I'm saying is I'm grateful, but we have to do a better job of delighting ourselves in the Lord.
Yes, and that is a personal challenge for all of us. You know, Rob, like Rob was saying, man, we always don't feel worthy, but he's good. And delighting ourselves in the Lord helps, man. Like, and he gave the relationship example, and I think that's very good. Something came to my head when you were saying that, bro. It's like, you ever heard the saying, we want your heart, not your hand? And the same way, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us come to the Lord, I need money. I need this. I want a man. I want a woman. Whatever it may be. And it's all this. The hand. And instead of us saying, Lord, I delight myself in you. Show me your ways. What do you want for me? You know what I'm saying? What do you want for my life? What am I doing that doesn't please you? Because when you really love somebody, you don't want to disappoint them. You don't want to hurt them. Think about if you're a male think about whoever you're in love with. How much do you want to hurt them? If you really love them, you don't want to hurt them. How much more should it be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and with the Lord? How much more should it be? Because, you know, I always pray this every day. Lord, don't never let nobody get ahead of you.
Yeah.
Help me to never let anybody rise above you. Anybody can go. You first. And that's a challenge. Yeah. Trust me. Yeah, all the time.
It's a challenge, bro.
Of course, I mean, because if you're married, you got kids or whatever, man, all these people can end up higher, and we got to put them back in place in the position where they're supposed to be. All right, bro. Where
we going next? Psalms 46 and 10.
All right. Yeah, 46 and All right, Psalms 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The key in this is be still. Like a lot of, in one of our other shows, I think it's our sports show, I always say this, go sit down. You know what I'm saying? Like some of us are so busy trying to figure it out on our own point. We're trusting and like we so busy trying to figure this thing out. It's almost to the point where we not trusting God at all. We just trusting what's going on. And we banging our heads doing the same thing. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. Yep. And if you're a Christian, the only thing that you should be doing the same is delighting yourself in the Lord, because his mercies are brand new every day. So it's not the same because it's brand new. You'll catch it later. Go ahead.
Fun to the show. Yeah. Right. When they say be still, man, sometimes it's not always to stop moving, stop running, quiet yourself and listen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or sometimes, or in other cases, get yourself out the way and let God do what he want to do. And that's hard for a lot of us, man, because like I'm waiting on the Lord. But then you put your hand on it. Like, is you waiting? You know what I'm saying? That's like you saying you got a waiter that's serving you and they supposed to bring you the drink, but you go back there and go to the fountain, get your own drink. But I was waiting on him. Right, they take it too long. Nah, but they let them do what they supposed to do. Yeah. Like Isaiah 26, 3 through 4.
Isaiah. I think I spelled that wrong.
You might have. Yeah, you did. I didn't catch it.
I just called it. Okay.
Copy and paste.
That's what happened.
Trying to follow Robert Dean. I'm kidding. All right. Verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength.
And That was it. Can you read that one more time, brother?
You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength.
So the question is, do you find yourself stressing? Well, it's like, what I know it's not easy. I'm not saying this is like a one, two, three type situation. I'm not saying that. But we can start by walking by faith and trusting the Lord. You know what I mean? Like we have to. You have to start. If you're stressing off a situation when he's saying you'll keep your mind in perfect peace, scroll back up one more time, brother. Like, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. If your mind is stayed on the situation, if your mind is stayed on, I'm up, I got to get more, or if your mind focused on the business and you're not praying like, Lord, how can I stay? Like, any up, down, no matter what, I cannot stress this enough. I don't care if you're not in the valley. You can be on the mountaintops right now. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him.
Yes.
So you have to, because that person, you, I, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord forever, not just when it's convenient, not just for when you up or when you're down, because people trust in the Lord at different times of their life.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be an even keel no matter what.
You know, famous preacher back in the day, I ain't heard much from her now, but Miss Joyce Meyer had this book called The Battlefield of the Mind.
Very good book.
And to keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you? You have to keep your mind stayed on. See, it said whose mind is stayed on you. The inflection is on you. You have to do it. You know, you can pray, God, keep my mind, keep my mind. No, it's your responsibility to keep your mind. And how you keep your mind stayed on Lord, think about it. We always put things in relationship. Example, if your mind is staying on somebody, you're looking at pictures, you know, you're looking at old text messages and all that, you getting all the information and it keeps your mind on that person. All right, put that on the Lord. How do you keep your mind stayed on the Lord? Read his word, pray, think about what he's done for you. It's very, very important. You know, like David did that when Goliath came on him. He said, well, I remember God delivered me from the hand of the bear, living me in the hand of this lion. Who is this Philistine? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this big one word in front of me?
Right.
Next to my God. You get what I'm saying?
Next to my God. Yeah.
But his mind was stayed on God. He was able to remind himself of what God has did. And that's what we have to do. But it's up to us. I have to say this. Up to you to keep your mind. God ain't going to keep your mind for you. It's your mind. He gave it to you. You take care of it.
Yeah. So That's a whole different scripture, but yeah, it's a whole different. It's a scripture about that. They talk about what it's the desires of your heart, or it's your own evil desires that pull you away from the Lord. So, it's a battle, man. So the last thing that we have, we talked about faith, we talked about trust.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is you got to know Jesus for yourself. Like I said, after this Bible study, and we should be able to wrap up tonight. I didn't know if we was gonna make it through or not, but the biggest thing is on helping your unbelief, you got to know him for yourself. I can't tell you, and we're going to go through some scriptures where people was talking about what somebody else believe. I can pray for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you have to walk this salvation thing out yourself, you know? So, yeah, let's go ahead and get to it, man. We're going to be going to Psalms. My bad. I didn't read it through for the folks listening, man, but we're going to Psalms 9 and 10. Don't worry about it.
Okay. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you.
The key is those who know his name will put their trust. If you don't know his name, how can you put your trust in him? If you don't have faith and haven't ever built that trust, it's going to be hard to receive the word.
Yes.
There's a scripture in Matthew that talks about the soil in the ground. Mm-hmm. Where there was some seed, it fell in shallow ground, it produced ripe fruit, meaning, man, that word was good. And then as soon as a trial come, the trials of life come and choke it out. There's some seed that fell and it never grew. So it's like you got a hardened heart. You heard the word, no more words, don't know what they're talking about. It's, it's elementary. I'm deeper than that. Then so, or, man, I just saw him curse that person out. Why? How he gonna tell me something? Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be. And then there's seed that fall on good ground. And that's the one that sprout, it grows, and it produces fruit, and you can move forward. So, the key is you got to know his name for yourself. And we're talking about you have to know Jesus for yourself in these particular scriptures. Acts 19:11-17, sir.
All right. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. See, all them folks you see late at night, all of them ain't wrong. There may be a perversion, but all that is not wrong. That's in the Bible.
Yeah, they got it from the Bible.
Had to stop that.
It may be a little perverted.
It may pervert some things, but it's from the Bible.
Yeah.
Then some of the I remember how to say this, and I said it wrong. Itinerant. There we go. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who in the world is you?" I heard this a million times. And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known to both all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified.
So, you can't walk, I said this earlier, you cannot walk your walk through other believers. You can't quote me and see on something we said. Unless you're quoting the scripture me and C have given you through this Bible study. And even still, you have to believe it yourself.
Yes.
These fools came in there and said, this is like you going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I believe in you because of what C and Rob said." No, they went in there to fight off evil spirits and said, "I cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached."
They believe in Jesus.
Right.
That's the point.
They just saying whom Paul preached, going about their business, and then they get ran up out of there. Now, if you take it now and you trying to quote scriptures of something that we said and you don't believe it in yourself,
right?
What's going to happen is you're going to walk out naked and wounded. Maybe not literally, but figuratively, you'll walk out naked and wounded because now, again, stress, depression, now you doubting the Lord. Oh, that didn't work. That was for me. I worship God in my own little way because, you know, me and him got a special relationship because he don't always answer when I need him.
Mm-hmm.
No. And that's what happens when you don't believe for yourself.
You know, this goes back to one of the scriptures you read earlier where we was talking about if you believe in your heart, confess with your... No, when he was talking about when you speak to this mountain, it will be moved. That's the scripture I was looking for, right? And it talked about that, and there was a mountain. you have biblical authority to speak to something like a demon like that. The reason they got their butt whooped is because they ain't believe what they were speaking. They just were speaking.
No, you know
what I'm saying? The basis of that for moving a mountain or moving a situation or telling a demon to get out is, number one, you have to believe that God is able. Number two, you have to believe the word, and then you have to speak it with authority. All those things wouldn't happen. Now, if you talking about in the name of Jesus, who Paul talk about, you ain't got no authority. That's why they got their tail whooped. you know what I'm saying? They got left out butt naked. That ain't, but when you know that, you know. And I always give an example of Rob and his son, but if Rob would tell Devin, whoever crossed this line, you could pop him in the mouth, right? And Rob tell Devin it, and Devin be like, one, I know Devin. For real, Dad? Straight?
Say less,
right? And if he did it, he would go with all force and authority, knowing, hey, my dad said I can stand on that the same way. But if you ain't got no authority, and then you try to say, my dad said you do this, but boy, get your little tail up out of here. You get what I'm saying? It's just a different way of moving. Where are we going next, bro?
Hey, I'm them commercials, Naked and Afraid, when they be in the woods. that's how you gonna be looking.
Naked and Afraid.
James 1, yes, James 1, 2 through 8. Okay. I don't know why that show popped in my head when they say they ran out naked and wounded.
Naked and Afraid. Silly shit. All right, my brother, encounter all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
Oh, 2 through 8.
2 through 8, my bad. No, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways.
Okay. Listen, y'all. I know it says count it all joy. Of course, we don't like to go through tests and trials.
Of course
not. And, you know, on this show, I've talked about my woes at work. And I've been reminded by the Lord, you know, through different people, C being one of them. Mm-hmm. D, she's in the thing, you know, on how I'm supposed to handle it. You know, verse 6 says, ask in faith without doubting. Mm-hmm. And it's important that you ask in faith without doubting. Like, I always use myself because I never want to put nobody else's business out there. When I get upset about work, that's the thing. I forget to ask in faith. I forget to ask the Lord for peace. I forget to ask the Lord for strength. And we do it all the time. You know, either I'm murmuring and complaining, or of late been blowing up and out of order. You dig what I'm saying? And sometimes it's okay to blow up. And a blow up is not always cursing people out, but standing on business. But even in standing on business, you got to be in order. And I've been convicted on standing on business because I did it and I wasn't in order on how I did it. So, like, nobody likes to go through those tests and trials. And my brother told me this, and I'll let you go. See, my brother told me this so many times when I was ready to leave his job. And he said, bro, until you pass your tests, you just going to get somewhere else and go through the same thing, and it's going to be a new face. Remember who the source is. And he's talking about the enemy when you go through these things.
Ditto. I said it. The Lord spoke to me, man. But nah, for real, I'm being silly. But no, man, like, if you're going through things with work, especially a trial, really any trial with life, man, you have to get the victory on it. And what I mean the victory of, it don't mean you got to win every argument or nothing like that. What I mean the victory of is that you will not be moved. You will not be fazed by that. You know, I always tell Rob, don't let nobody talk you out your blessing, your money, your job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You've been a dipset. Oh, I got peace, but you broke. Then you stressed again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. For this fake peace. It ain't real peace, because you get real peace when you go through the storm and you know what? I ain't moved. God got me. I'm straight. I ain't bothered. That's real peace. That fake peace is like I ran and hid. You know what I'm saying? Because it's coming right back if you run and hide. You got to stand up to it. Like a grown man, a grown woman, put your, as they say in the South, put your big boy drawers on, put your big girl panties on, and stand up and be grown about it. And be like, you know what, I would not be moved, you know. But with that, like Rob said earlier about it's okay to go off, sometimes your going off is just your yes being yes and your no being no. So, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but we really, no, I'm not doing that. I would not relent or bend on that. I'm sorry. I can't do that. If a job try to get you, because a job will try to get you, especially if they know you a believer. And I say this and move on. They'll try to get you to do something outside of what they know you believe on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Rob, I know you this guy, but, you know, could you go on and, you know, they got here about 5 minutes late, but go on and put them in at the right time. Somebody above him mess. Robbie did not tell me this. I'm just making up something. You know that person got here five. You know what I'm saying? I know this person got in 5 minutes late, but Rob just going to put this in here. Ain't nothing. You know, you a manager or whatever. And they be doing that to see if you'll do it. You see what I'm saying? Those type of things. And you, your yes be no. No, I ain't doing that. You do it. I ain't finna do it. Lose my job for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right.
John 15:1-5, brother.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
This shows us that as long as we're in God's will, we know he will prepare us for whatever it is he has us to do. You know what I mean? 100%. It also lets us know he will provide for us. It's a lot, and I know it's a lot, if you abide in me, I abide in you. The bottom line is, you know how branches go. Cut a branch off the tree and watch how that mug wither away and dies. Mm-hmm. But every year when that branch is on, it produces leaves. The leaves fall out. If you're going through something, look at yourself like this branch that he's talking about. If the leaves are, wintertime, they fall off. It don't mean you're dead. You're just having a dry season. Spring come around, the rain come up, boom, you sprout again. That's that's how life goes. But let 100%. That branch fall up off that joint. You know what they do? They pile it up. And if you're out in the country, they burn that joint. So if outside of God, put it together. You know what I mean? It's if it's not producing anything, like some people have dead trees in their yard. Half of the tree alive, the other half dead. They cut off the dead part and throw that mug into the fire. Don't be a dead man walking in the sense of outside the will of God when you already plugged in if you're a believer.
You know, another thing, and just to add to what you said, you know, Jesus has been called, mentioned in other portions of scripture as the tree of life, right? Mm-hmm. He say, I am in the vine. If you abide in me and your words abide in me, I would abide in you. Look at it this way. Like, you can be a branch off of the tree, a limb off of a tree, right? And your fruit or your flowers may not work, and they can cut off parts of that. That branch will always live. Cut that branch off the tree, see will it live. Not at all. Right? Soon as that branch comes totally apart from that tree, that branch dies. Totally. Nothing. So if we look at our lives like that, if we are totally apart, separated from Christ, then we are not living. Now, we may not be physically dead, but we ain't alive. But so long as we tied into God, then we're okay. And further example on that, like a branch can get pruned. Things can get broke off. Things can be, you know, reshaped and all that. But as long as you connected, you good. So if you getting pruned at this time, other words, people had to be cut up out your life and stuff like that. It's all right. Just stay with God. Never let him go. Never let him go. Where are we going next, bro?
Romans 10:8-12. Folks, we may go a little bit over. It doesn't make any sense to turn this into a part two. We got three more scriptures and points to make. So, I mean, three more scriptures to go through and we'll be wrapping up.
Romans, was it 10?
Romans 10:8-12, yeah. You know what? Hold on. Go to Psalms. Okay. I apologize. I want to say that one for last. Go to Psalm 63:1.
Got you. 63:1. All right, Psalm 63:1, Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water.
Today's society is dry in parts. You know what I'm saying? And without the living water of Jesus, look, you'll be forever chasing nothing. You know, you'll be or chasing something to quench that thirst. Be a relationship, be a job, no matter what it is, the way that society is now You're looking to fill a void that only Jesus can quench their thirst. You know, mm-hmm. no matter what happens. And it says, my soul thirsts for you. This is back to, am I delighting myself in the Lord? Because in a dry land, in a thirsty land where there is no water, because we look for substitutions all the time. That's what substance abuse is about. We're looking for substance. We're looking for some type of substance in him, her, or something to fill a void that only Jesus can fill. And that's why people be feeling so empty. I just feel so empty. Something just not right. It just don't, that type of conversation.
Amen. All right, Philippians 4:6-7.
I'm sorry, Philippians 4:6-7, and then we'll wrap up with Romans 10. So Philippians 4:6-7.
Got you. Reset this. All right, Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Remember, we're in the part you got to know for yourself. You can't experience that peace outside of a relationship with God.
Right.
No matter what. It's all temporary. If you got the money, or I just need the money, then you're going to be stressing off all the people coming to ask you for something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or the taxes then got you. Mm-hmm. Without a relationship with God, you cannot experience that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Another word for anxious is worry. So worry for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. So the things that will cause you to worry, pray. That's what it's telling you. And thank God for it, to help you, that he can help you out of that, other than just staying and worrying and worrying and worrying over and over about that particular thing. All right.
And then it goes back to that. The last set of scriptures is Romans 10:8-12. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to, the description on how do you delight yourself in the Lord by prayer and reading his word. Mm-hmm. So just remember that.
All right. 8-12. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is over all and is rich to all who call upon him.
All right. And this scripture sums up this Bible study on helping our unbelief through faith and completely trusting in the Lord. Mm-hmm. This last scripture that we talked about, go ahead and go up and we'll go right into it, and then we'll do a little backwards, man. For keep going up, Romans 10:9-10. This is the scripture, and this is up here because some people, what are they saying when we talk about the sinner's prayer? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes in our righteousness, and it talks about our salvation. Mm-hmm. This whole purpose of our Bible study that we do is to introduce you to Jesus. And for the ones who already know Jesus and you're already in the faith and you know what's going on, it's to encourage you to keep you going so that you can delight yourself in the Lord. And then we give our experiences just to let you know you're not the only one going through something. We all have our struggles, our hiccups, the things that people see or don't see. And a lot of times people go to church thinking that this person is perfect. Why you think people are so in shock when a pastor falls? No, he struggles too. First lady struggles. The deacon struggle. We're human. That's the human element of it. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, so you talking about what peace, what trust, what faith, how can I know him for myself? It's simple. Yeah. It's this simple prayer right here. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for me on the cross. And not only did he die, but he rose on the third day that I may have everlasting life. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I repent. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's simple. That scripture just said, for if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose on the third day, that's exactly what we just did. Now, the key to that is so that you can help your unbelief, find you a church home. First church home might not be the best, but find you a church home, and don't just go and sit in the back. Go and get around other people so that they can help you with your unbelief in this sense. just community. Same thing we're doing now. This is what they call community in the church, or small groups, if you will, where people are talking, we're praying for you, we're encouraging you, and we're being real with life. Not so real that we're condoning foolery, but so real to let you know, you had a bad day, this happened, repent, and work on ways. Sometimes it's overnight. Sometimes you get delivered instantly. And sometimes you got to walk it out and the Lord will slowly move it. But it all falls on us, you and I, to take those steps. Yeah. You know, if I'm struggling with drinking, Lord, I need you to help me with drinking. But then as soon as I get off the Bible study, I run to the liquor store. That was my free will of going to the liquor store after I just prayed to make myself feel good. And if you are that part in your walk and it's something like that that you're struggling with, take the steps. Man, one day, 2 days, you look up, dang, it's been a month. I ain't did this in over a month. Man, God is good no matter what it is, no matter who they are. You'll catch it later.
Yeah.
God is that good. Get you a Bible. Find you a Bible. Get you a physical Bible or a Bible app. Whenever you're reading your Bible, find you a Bible plan. They got all types of Bible plans. Beginners. Like novice, expert, whatever you want, but there's Bible plans that's strictly for you. Before you read, pray on it. Put your phone on airplane mode. Download it. Put your phone on airplane mode so you don't get no notifications for distractions. And that's the way that you can grow. I'm not going to do you want to do a overall or just wrap it up, brother?
We can wrap it up. I do want to say this, though, before we wrap it up, man. Rob led you in a sinner's prayer, a version of a sinner's prayer. Let me tell you this, just so you can be sure. If you never prayed nothing like that, not the exact same thing that Rob prayed, but if you haven't, do it. I don't care if you've been going to church all your life and all that. Make sure you do that. Because just saying you're a Christian don't make you a Christian. Just saying, you know, oh yeah, I believe Jesus died on the cross. If you don't pray that, like actually pray it, he ain't came into your heart. And you may not be receiving the benefits that you should as a believer. You trying to access these benefits without being, as they say in gang culture, sworn in. You know, you ain't did what you had to do. Not to make light of this, man, but I just think, just in case, you know, if anybody watching this show and you never openly confessed, I'm not saying walk down the line and went to the back. You can openly confess Jesus right there in your house and say, Jesus, I believe in you, coming to my heart. If you never done that, do it. Don't just assume you good just because, oh yeah, you know, I've been to church. Going to church don't make you a Christian. Except that's something that Christians do, but that don't make you a Christian. You feel what I'm saying? You have to actually say that. If you have never said that, take the time to say it. Not just because Rob led you in it, or not just because I've led you in it before. Neither one of us got to be here. You can take the scripture yourself and read it yourself. Close your eyes and be sincere and pray about that. And God will come into your life and will change you. Go ahead, bro.
Amen. No, that's I'm saying.
Okay. Bye. See y'all later. No, I'm
kidding. Hey, you should have hit the M button, bro. See, that's the silliness that comes out. Hey, look, we appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, the name of this Bible study was Help My Unbelief. You know, you could put Lord in front of it if you want to make that your prayer. God, just
remix it how you want to.
And this is, it's important. Faith, trust, and knowing them for yourself.
Yeah.
That's the key. There you go.
100%. All right, man. Hey, we thank y'all so much for being here for this Bible study, man. Great job, brother. We'll be back tomorrow with another sports show as we do every Wednesday. I pray that this had an impact on you like I'm sure. I know it did, my brother, and I know it did me. I pray it affects y'all as well. And also for our listeners, if this was your first time listening, hey, please come back again. Check us out again. Not because we want fans or subscribers, but we just want y'all to know this word. That's what this Bible study is about, for you to know the word and to know Jesus. And if anybody came to Jesus, praise God. Welcome to the kingdom.
Welcome to the kingdom.
Welcome to the kingdom. With that being said, I'm C. Micah.
I'm Robert Dean.
We out, man. We see y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, Lamar. Take them wherever they go. Everywhere, make them known. I want to make some clones. Yeah. Modeling Christ alone. I take his name around everywhere I go. Every city, every town, I will make
bound, trying to make some clones. Model Christ alone, I make them known.